For beginning here on the top of Yutetamadav, three lines down, Eitfei Abaye. Abaye is now challenging Rava's contention. We ended off yesterday with Rava's contention, which is with regards to Rabbi Elazar's position. Rava Amar, Ad kan lo kamar Rabbi Elazar, hu atzmo yikarei vola, ela befrish nekevad ola. The only time that Rabbi Elazar believes that you put the vlad, the offspring, onto the Mizbeach, is when the mother was mufrash as an ola, because the ika shem ola alimo, because the mother has the shem ola. The way that Rashi described that is from a twofold front. One is the fact that she was the primary hektesh, and the hektesh of ola was placed upon her. And number two is that ola ta'of has the possibility of being a nekeva. Rabbeinu Gershom enhances that by saying that if you said harei olai olat nidava, bringing an oaf would be an option, and therefore Nekeva is in the world of Ola. Aval gabei vlad tmurat Hashem, by the offspring of a tmurat Hashem, the leka shem Ola alimo. Over there, the vlad of the tmura is an Ola, and the mother does not have a shem Ola on her for both reasons. One of which is that there's no such thing as an oaf by Hashem, so there's no manifestation of Nekeva, as well as the fact that that was not the primary kedusha of the mother. The original Kedusha, or the origin of the Kedusha, is an Hashem. It's an Hashem that then is converted into an Ola because of the fact that it's a Vlad or a Tumurat Hashem. But the origins are that of an Hashem and not of an Ola. And therefore, Mode Rabbi Elazar de Mendamav in Huatzmo lo Karev. That yes, it's monetized for an Ola, but it itself doesn't go on the Mizbeach. So that's a key distinction that Rava makes over here with regards to Rabbi Elazar's position, which is that there's a difference between a Vlad Nikeva and a Vlad Murat Hashem, where Vlad Nikeva Tola will end up on the Mizbeach, whereas a Vlad Murat Hashem will not end up on the Mizbeach, it will be monetized. And Rova gives the explanation because of Shem Imo. It has to do with whether there's Shem Ola Alimo, what was the mother's standing, and how is that relative to the offspring's standing. So that's the reasoning behind Rova, and Abaye challenges that. Eitz Ve'Abaye. V'chei bai Rabbi Elazar the shem ola alimo. Does Rabbi Elazar really require, in order for the offspring to go on the Mizbeach, that the mother have, quote-unquote, shem ola alimo? V'atanya, we have the following b'raita, hamafrish nekeva lepischo. Someone who separates out a nekeva to be his korban ha-pesach, yir'eh ad she'yista'ev. You put it out to pasture until it gets a mominit. V'timacher, you sell it off, monetize it, v'yivivideh ha-pesach. And then you'll bring with the monies that you garnered from the sale of the Nekeva, you'll bring a Korban HaPesach. So obviously we're speaking about pre-Pesach, before Pesach, because otherwise what does it mean that you're going to use the monies to bring a Pesach? So obviously you have the opportunity still to bring a Pesach. Number two is that a Pesach only comes from Zicharim. The fact that he was Mafrish in Nekeva LePischo is similar in genre to being Mafrish in Nekeva LeOla. That's similar when you're mafrish nekeva lepischo. So there we say that it's put out to pasture, and we wait for a mum, monetize it, and then use the proceeds to bring a korban pesach. Yalda, if she gave birth, yireh ajis ta'ev v'imacher v'aviv damav pesach. If she gives birth, then that offspring also you would wait until it gets a mum, monetize it, and bring with the proceeds the korban pesach. Nishtaira achara pesach. If the Korban HaPesach was left over till after Pesach. I mean, in this case, the Nekeva, that was Nitkadesh, for the Pesach was left until after Pesach. Tir'eh ad she'yista'ev. Then the animal, we wait till it gets a mum, and we monetize it. V'aviv edameha shlamim. And with the proceeds, we bring a shlamim. Because motar HaPesach, leftovers from the Pesach, something that could have been a Korban HaPesach, was mukdash the Korban HaPesach, and then is left over past the date of Korban HaPesach becomes a Motar HaPesach, and Motar HaPesach is a Shlamim. That's because by definition, no Pesach, or no animal that was Ro'oi for Pesach this year will be Ro'oi in the subsequent year, because a Korban HaPesach only comes from an animal in its first year, and from a Zachar. So by definition, as soon as you pass through Pesach, it becomes Motar HaPesach. And we learned in the Gemara Pesachim and in Zbachim that Motar HaPesach is a Shlamim. So here, where it was a Nekeva that you were Magdish for the Pesach, Then after Pesach, when you monetize it, instead of using the proceeds to bring a Pesach, use the proceeds to bring a Shlamim. Yalda, know that if it gave birth, Yira Achi Stave, again, you wait for it, you put it out to pasture until it gets a Muminit, Bimacher, and then you sell it off, Ve'yavi B'damav Shlamim, and then you bring with those proceeds a Shlamim. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Hu Atzmo Yikarev V'Shlamim. That offspring will be put on the Mizbeach like a Shlamim. In this instance, the leka shem shlamim alimo. There is no shem shlamim on the mother. The mother was a Pesach. She was not a shlamim. She was originally nitkadesh as a Pesach. And obviously, over here, there's no op by shlamim to say that it was a nekeva that's manifest here. So you don't have the nekeva being manifest. You don't have the fact that the mother was a shlamim. And yet, Rabbi Elazar still says that the offspring, this offspring of a Nekeva that was Nitkadesh for a Pesach that was left until after Pesach and gave birth, that offspring, according to Belazar, goes on the Mizbeach, despite the fact that its mother doesn't have a Shem Shlamim on her. Amarle Rava the Abaye. So Rava responds to Abaye and says, Achara Pesach, Kamart? You're speaking about post-Pesach? Shiny Achara Pesach, the Motar Pesach Gufei Karev Shlamim. Because a motor of Pesach, anything that's left over after Pesach, it itself is put on the Mizbeach as a Shlamim. Now that's true if it had been a male animal. Had it been a male animal that was a Korban of Pesach and was left over after Pesach, it goes on to Mizbeach as a Shlamim. Without having to do anything to convert it, it automatically becomes a Shlamim and you put it on the Mizbeach as a Shlamim. So, because of that, the post-Pesach or the motor of Pesach does have a Shem Shlamim. And so the mother here does have a Shem Shlamim, because as soon as it converted into Motara Pesach, it automatically became a Shlamim. Or in essence, Pesach and Shlamim are somewhat interchangeable. Pesach is just a specialized type of Shlamim. And so post the Pesach, it's classified as a Shlamim. Now, the statement over here is that after a Pesach, Motara Pesach Gufei Karev Shlamim. That is not necessarily true in our instance. It is true in general, but it's not true in this instance, and that's because the female came from a what's called Kedusha Dechuya, which is that the female, when she was originally Nitkadesh to be a Pesach, that was not a Korban that was Ra'oi, she would not go on the Mizbeach. Therefore, post-Pesach, when it converts into a Shlamim, she remains Kedusha Dechuya. And since she remains Kedusha Dechuya, you cannot make it into a Shlamim and put it on the Mizbeach. But despite the fact that she is a Kedusha Dechuya, she has a Shem Shlamim with her. That Shem Shlamim then is enough, according to Rabbi Elazar, to imbue the Vlad, the offspring that she has at that point in time, with the din that it will go on the Mizbeach as a Shlamim. So even though the mother can't go on the Mizbeach, the offspring can go on the Mizbeach, but that's because the mother is a Shlamim. She's been converted into a Shlamim, and therefore the offspring will have the din of a Shlamim, that has a mother that is a Shlamim, and therefore can go on the Mizbeach, and that would be then consistent with Rabba's position. Where it says, Ihochi, if that's the case, Niflog Nami Beresha. Why don't you then also have Rabbi Elazar argue in the Resha? Meaning that, according to Rashi, if you have a Pesach, Bishar Yemot HaShana, a Pesach, any other time of the year besides the 14th of Nisan, if you shef the Korban Pesach, Shalom Bizmano, and it becomes a Shlamim. So now, if that's the case, then the ratio of the Mishnah that says that it was pre-Pesach, and you were Makdish, female animal, to be a Korban of Pesach, over there we said that that is disqualified from going on the Mizbeach, but you monetize it, and then you use the proceeds to bring a Korban of Pesach, then if that's the case, that you think that the mother's status is that of a Shlamim, then why can't you say that the Vlad, the offspring over there, should also go on the Mizbeach? If there's a Shem Shlamim on the mother, then the offspring should go on the Mizbeach. That's the way Rashi frames the question. In the Resha, if it was pre-Pesach and you brought it Korban, it would be a Shem Shlamim on it. If that's the case, then the child or the offspring should be something that is Ra'oi to go on the Mizbeach. The Balei HaTosafot framed the question slightly differently. That is because the way that Rashi frames the question, the Ihochi is not really a result of Rava's statement. Rava here says, well, the Motar HaPesach is a Shlamim, and that's why Rabbi Elazar believes over here that post the Pesach, the Vlad is put on the Mizbeach as a Shlamim because it is the same thing as its mother that is a Shlamim. And then Rabbi says, Ihochi, because of that. Well, what do you mean because of that? The way that Rashi frames the question, pre-Pesach, the Vlad you want to put on the Mizbeach as a Shlamim, and the mother is also a Shlamim. Both of those are true, irrespective of what Rav already told us. Therefore, the Baal Tosafot favor a girsa that matches up with the girsa of the Gemara in Kretut and Daf Chav Chedem and Aleph, that over here, the suggestion is that it would go as a Korban HaPesach, the Vlad, not as a Shlamim. And that Rabbi Elazar would believe that here the Vlad before Pesach should be a Pesach itself. Now, if you don't hold like Rava, then you can explain why that is not the case. Because the Vlad is going to be put on the Mizbeach as a Pesach. By definition, if the Vlad goes on the Mizbeach as a Pesach, the mother can no longer be used towards a Pesach, or the proceeds of the mother can't be used towards a Pesach, because you already discharged your obligation with the Pesach of the Vlad. That means the mother is a Shlamim. So if you see a Shlamim and a Pesach as differentiated korbanot, then it makes sense why Rabbi Elazar in the Reisha did not suggest that the Vlad should go on the Mizbeach as a Pesach, because it would be differentiated from the mother that would then turn into a Shlamim, or vice versa. If you use the proceeds of the mother to bring a Pesach, then the Vlad is a Shlamim, so it would be differentiated from its mother. On the other hand, according to Rova's view here, that a Pesach in the end becomes a Motar Shlamim, or basically Pesach and Shlamim are synonymous, or as we stated before, that the Pesach is a specialized type of Shlamim, a modified type of Shlamim, then over here, if the offspring can go on the Mizbeach as a Pesach, and the mother will be then a Shlamim, or a Motar Shlamim, after a Pesach, then they should be considered the same entity. And if that's the case, then the offspring as a Pesach should be carrying Shem Imo. And that's why, in the Reisha, you should also say that Rabbi Shimon believes that it goes on the Mizbeach. So that's the way the Baal Yad Tosafot framed the question. And that's what the Gemara says here, Rabbi says to Rava, according to you, Niflog Nami Bereisha, why doesn't Rabbi Elazar argue in the Reisha? So, Amar Le Rava, the Baal Yad, Ein Hachanami? He does. Obligé. He does argue in the Reisha. Just he waited until the Seifa to give his opinion. But he also argues in the Reisha as well. Now, as far as the Chachamim and the Tanakhama's position here, where everything is Yireh Achi Yistahev and disagreeing with Rabbi Elazar's position, that's most likely, according to the Baal Yad Tosafot, in other places in Shas, dependent on the Machloket as to whether Bailei Chaim Nidachim or not. And over here, since you were Makdish, a female, which is Nidach, Mi'ala Mizbeach, if you believe Bailei Chaim Nidachim, then whatever is a derivative of that mother also would be Nidach, and that's why it can't go on the Mizbeach, and that's why in all these instances, the Vlad, which comes from the Koach of the mother, doesn't go on the Mizbeach, but rather Yireh Achi Yistahev. On the other hand, the Keren Orah and the Griz, because of the Sheet of the Rambam, which would not work out according to this view of the Baal Yad Tosafot, they make a suggestion that even if you believe Balei Chaim Eina Nidachim, over here you could still claim that there is a problem, which is that certain dechiot, which are dechiot in the inherent kedusha of the animal, like in this case where you're makdish in the keva, that is an inherent failure that makes it that dechoy is permanent and affects even the offsprings afterward. Even though you hold in other areas of halacha that ain balei chayim nidachim, that's when there's some sort of exogenous variable that creates a problem. So for instance, on Yom Kippur, if one of the seirim dies, that the other seir is not nidach, because that is the fact that it needs to come together. But the inherent kedusha is still intact on this animal. There's just a issue that you need both of them to be there, or you need a pair to be with it. Over there you could hold Ein Balei Chaim Nidachim, even though over here you hold Balei Chaim Nidachim. And that would be the view of the Chachamim as to why everything over here is Yireh Achi Yistahev. All the offspring over here are Yireh Achi Yistahev. And the Gemara says, Abaye Amar. Baye disagrees with Rava's conclusion as to what the reasoning is behind Rabbi Elazar's position. But rather, he says, Lo Polig, they don't argue in the Reisha, they only argue in the Seifa. And that is, Mide de Gemire, Lamakom, Shamotar, Holech, Havlad, Holech. That the way to understand Rabbi Elazar's position is the following. You follow the trail. Wherever the Motar, the excess monies of such a Korban go, that's where the Vlad goes. The status of the Vlad is determined by the Motar. So Motar is either if you're Mafrish two animals achrayut and use one of them for the korban and the other one then is left over is a mutar. Or you separated out monies to purchase the animal and you have excess monies. That's mutar. Or we have instances like the case of the asham where nitkapru bala or other korbanot where the kapara, whatever you're trying to do is accomplished by another animal, then the residual animal that you had separated out is also called a mutar. So whatever happens to the mutar, that's what happens to the offspring. La'achara Pesach, after Pesach, the motar karev shlamim, then the leftover Pesach ends up in the Zbech shlamim, therefore, v'lad nami karev shlamim. So there, according to Rabbi Lazar, that's why the offspring ends up in the Zbech as a shlamim as well. Aval lifnei Pesach, imei l'mai akdasho. Before Pesach, what was the mother sanctified for? The d'mei Pesach. For monetary value, to be used towards a korban of Pesach. So Vlad Nami, the Dmei of Pesach. So too, the Vlad then will have the same status, which is, it will be the Dmei of Pesach. That's the reasoning behind Rabbi Elazar's position, according to Abaye, which is the Motar determines what the status of the Vlad is. Now, if you look in Rashi, Divrei HaMatchil, Abaye Amar, Lo Plige Midei, in the middle of that Rashi, says, Hilkach. According to Abaye, you have to explain all of Rabbi Elazar's positions. You can't just explain the case of Pesach. Here, Abaye, as Tosafot says, is coming to explain all the views of Rabbi Elazar. And therefore, in the case where you're mafrish nekeva the ola, just like if you had separated out two olot in order to take care of your obligation with the ola, and you brought one of them, the residual ola would be considered a motar, and would be brought as a nedava. And so, since both of them are re'uyim to end up in the Mizbeach, then if one is put on the Mizbeach, the other one also ends up in the Mizbeach. The first one to discharge your obligation, the second one to be a nedava. And that means that the offspring of an Ola then would also have the same status as the Motar. Just like the Motar ends up in the Mizbeach as an Ola, so too the offspring of a Nekeva that was Mukdash to be an Ola would also have the status of being an Ola and be placed on the Mizbeach. Now, by Asham, there that we said, the Motar Asham, a leftover Asham, or excess Asham, is Ro'eh, is put out to pasture, and therefore, Vlad, Tmurat Asham, that is Ro'eh, it goes to graze. That was the question that Rav was trying to address yesterday. Why does Rabbi Elazar over there think that that does not end up on the Mizbeach? Because, as far as the Asham is concerned, when you have a Motar Asham, it's Nitak the Riyah. So therefore, you have a Vlad, Tmurat Asham, that's also going to be Nitak the Riyah, and you're going to monetize it and bring an Asham with the proceeds. By Pesach, when it's post-Pesach, then the Motar of Pesach is a Shlamim. And therefore, the Chatchila, that's the Chatchila, it is a Shlamim. And therefore, also, the Vlad will end up on the Mizbeach as a Shlamim post-Pesach. If you use a different Korban of Pesach, or for whatever reason, this was left over until after the Pesach. Kodem of Pesach, when you're before Pesach, that there, the Motar is not Ro'oi for anything. The reason it's not Ro'oi for anything is because before Pesach, there is no such thing as a Motar. If you're Mafrish two Pesachim before Pesach, and then you're going to bring one of them as a Pesach, doesn't make the other one a Motar. You only become Motar when you've already discharged your obligation. Here you're pre-Pesach. If you're pre-Pesach, then both of them are Ro'oim to be Korban of Pesach. Neither one is Ro'oi to be a Shlamim L'chatchila. If you do shecht one of them chutz lizmano before the Pesach, it will become a shlamim. But the chatchila, neither of them are a shlamim. There's no concept of motar Pesach pre-Pesach. And since that's the case, then the vlad a Pesach beforehand is not ro'oi for being anything except to do what the mother does, which is to be monetized and then use the monies or the proceeds to buy a korban a Pesach. Tosfot does note a different way to frame this, which is the fact that if you put the Vlad on the Mizbeach as a Pesach, then the mother then will not be Demeha le Pesach, because if you put on the offspring before Pesach as a Pesach, then the mother would be Nitcheit mina Pesach, and then would have to be used the Motar or the residual monies for a Shlamim. And that's why Abaye would believe that before a Pesach, that Rabbi Elazar would believe that the offspring does not go on the Mizbeach, because anything you do to the offspring, the mother then would turn out to be on the opposite side, as we mentioned before. You bring the offspring as a Pesach, the mother then would turn into a Motar Pesach and a Shlamim. And vice versa, if you put the Vlad on as a Shlamim, the proceeds of the mother could still be used as a Pesach, and there'd be a differentiation. Tosafot then says that the Lashon HaGemara does not sound like this, and Rashi didn't explain it that way either. And so that's the four different cases where Rabbi Elazar's opinion is found. That's how Abaye explains them with his Shita over here. Right now the Gemara has a challenge to that. Meitiv Rav Ukva Bar Chama. So Rav Ukva Bar Chama seemingly is challenging Abaye's position. But if you look carefully in the Shita Mikubetzet, in Ot Chavav, he brings a Lishna Achrina, V'hu Adin Nami, the Matzi Porich, Mehad Lemai De Amru Le'el, the time of the Rav Elazar, Mishum De'ika Shem Alo Alimo. Or in essence, Rav Ukva Bar Chama's question here is equally a problem for a Rava as it is for Baye. So from the Gemara itself and from Rashi and the Pashtut of Rashi, it sounds like the question here is on a Baye's position. On the other hand, if you look in the Shita Mikubetzet, who brings a Lishna Achrina in Rashi, that indicates that the question is not only on Abaye, but the question is also on Rova. And that is, Umi Amrinan, Midimei Lidmei, Vlad Nami Lidmei. Since the mother is for its monetary value, so too the offspring will be for its monetary value. So according to Abaye, it's very clear. If the mother as a mutar is going to end up being monetized, then the Vlad will also be monetized. And Rav Ukva Bar Chama is challenging that and saying, is there really that correlation between them? That when the mother is going to be monetized, so too the Vlad is going to be monetized. Vatanya, we have the following braita. Marfish Nekeva the Pesach, one who separates out a Nekeva for Pesach, these are the cases we've been talking about till now. He Vlad Uteh Yiruach Yistavu. That Korban HaPesach and her offspring will be put out to graze. V'yimachru, they'll be sold. V'yaviv idmehem Pesach. And then you bring with the proceeds a Korban HaPesach. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Hu Atzmo Ikarei Pesach. It itself should be put on the Mizbeach as a Pesach. So you see here, Rabbi Elazar believes it goes on the Mizbeach as a Pesach, yet the mother is going to be monetized. Here the mother is pre the Korban HaPesach, pre-Zman of the holiday of Pesach. Therefore, it's going to be monetized in the proceeds used to purchase a Korban HaPesach. And despite that fact, the offspring, according to this, is for Rabbi Elazar put on the Mizbeach. So for Abaye, that's a huge problem. He just said before, whatever the motar is of the mother, that's what happens to the offspring. That's not what's happening over here. The motar of the mother, there is no motar. It's pre-Pesach. And yet the offspring is ending up on the Mizbeach. Now, for Rova, who said before, Rabbi Elazar argues in the Reisha as well. Not only does he argue in the Seifa, he argues in the Reisha as well. So for Rova, this is right. Pre-Pesach, when you have a female that was Nitkadesh for the Korban HaPesach, and it has an offspring, according to Rova, Rabbi Elazar argues there as well, and says the offspring goes on the Mizbeach. So then why is this Breita also a question on Rava? Is because what it's used for. In the previous Breit, when Rava says Rabbi Elazar disagrees in the Reisha as well, he only disagreed to the point where the Vlad goes on the Mizbeach as a Shlamim. Over here, this Breita says, Hu Atzmo Yikarev Pesach, that it's put on the Mizbeach as a Korban HaPesach, not that it's put on a Shlamim, and that's why it's also a question on Rava. For those that don't have the Girsa that the Shita Mikubetzet has, in terms of being a question on Rava, the answer that you're going to give for Rava is Shlamim and Pesach are basically one entity. As we've seen before, Pesach is a specialized type of Shlamim, and therefore it's not a real difference whether it goes on as a Pesach or goes on as a Shlamim. Both of those are considered to be the same entity in a sense. Now obviously it would only be a question according to Rashi's version of the Gemara that Baye's question was put the Vlad on Mizbeach as a Shlamim. But according to the way that the Baal HaTosafot read it, that the suggestion by Abaye is that the offspring and the Reisha should be put on Mizbeach as a Pesach, then this is not a question on Rava's position, only a question on Abaye's position. So now, V'ha'acha, di'imei l'dmei, over here its mother is monetized, ve'amar Rabbi Elazar, hu atzmo karei Pesach. And Rabbi Elazar still says that the offspring goes on the Mizbeach as a Pesach, velo mukminin le bi'imei. And it doesn't follow the status of the mother. Whatever happens to the mother is not what's happening to the offspring in this case. There's no motar. And since there's no motar, the only determining factor over here is the mother, and the mother is going to be monetized. According to Abaye, the child should have been monetized as well. The fact that we don't do that, and Rabbi Elazar says you put it on the Mizbeach, That goes against Abaye's principle. So Amar Ravina, Ravina in defense of Abaye comes and says, Rabukva Rachama, your question is not a fair question. Bimafrish Bema Meuberet Askinan. We're dealing here with the case where he was mafrish to Korban when it was pregnant already. Rabbi Elazar Savar to Rabbi Yochanan. Elazar holds like Rabbi Yochanan, we saw back on Daf Yudam and Bet when he argued on Bar Poda, that Rabbi Yochanan Damar Imshiyaro Mishuyar. That if you leave the fetus out of the Kedusha of the mother, then the fetus can attain either separate Kedusha completely, or it can be Chulin completely. It can be identified, separated, and segregated from the mother completely. That's the view of Rabbi Yochanan. And Rabbi Elazar subscribes to that. The Ubar, Labi Erechimohu, because the fetus is not seen as an extension of the mother. V'imohi Dolokacha Kedushat Aguf. That's true that the mother is going to be monetized because the mother can't end up on the Mizbeach because it's a female and a female can't be a Pesach. So then the purpose of the female is to be monetized and then use the proceeds for Pesach. That's true of the mother. About who? Kadosh. Whereas the fetus is Kadosh, meaning that when you are Makdishit, the Korban of Pesach, you're now Makdish two entities. You're Makdish the mother, who is not Roi the Mizbeach and therefore becomes a vehicle for monetization to pay for a Pesach, but you also have the fetus. And the fetus inside, you are Makdish as a Pesach separately because it's a separate entity according to Rabbi Yochanan. Therefore, according to Rabbi Elazar, that's why the offspring goes on the Mizbeach here, because you were Makdish it to be a Korban of Pesach. It's not a Vlad of a Nikeva that was Nitkadesh, the Pesach. It was also Mukdash, the Pesach. And that's why over here, the Vlad will go as a Pesach, but the mother would be monetized. And Amar Le Marzutra Breit the Rav Mari the Ravina Achanami Mistavro. What you're saying makes sense. Dibbe Behema Muberet Askina, and that Breit is speaking about a pregnant animal. Midiktani he Vivladotea. Because it says she and her offspring. As opposed to the previous Breita, where it said Amafrishne Kevala Pisco, and then it says Vialda, and it gave birth. Over here, it doesn't say she gave birth, it says he, Vivladotea, she and her offspring, which means that she and her offspring were relevant entities at the time that you were being mafrishit. Hamriafrishna Kevala Pisco, he, Vivladotea, they are entities that are affected by the Hafrasha itself. And so therefore, we're talking about Miktani Hivaladesh, Mamina, that it's being about an animal that was pregnant, and not an animal that gave birth after it was already Nitkadesh. And that's why, over there, the din is different, and it's still not an undermining of Abaye's position. So, Amar Rabbi Yossi v'Rabbi Chanina, Umode Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar agrees, V'mafrish Nekeva li'asham. Someone who segregates out a Nekeva for an Asham, the Ein Bina Karei Asham, that the offspring doesn't go on the Mizbeach as an Asham. So Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina says that Rabbi Elazar's view that we've seen with regards to Mafrish Nekeva Le'ola, where the offspring goes on the Mizbeach according to Rabbi Elazar. We also just saw about Mafrish Pischo, that the offspring, if it was post the Zman of Pesach, also goes on the Mizbeach as a Shlamim. And here, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina says Rabbi Elazar by Nasham does not say the same thing. Mar says, Pshita, that's pretty straightforward. An kad lo kamar Rabbi Elazar elabim afrish nekeva deola. That's only true when you were mafrish nekeva deola, deika shame ola alimo. Because you have a shame ola on the mother. The mother has a shame ola, either because, again, she was primary hektesh was ola, or, as Rashi said, because an ola to oaf could also be brought minekeva as an ola, so there's a manifestation, or, according to the Bali Tosafot, who, throughout the sugi here, points out when Rashi's interpretation makes sense or doesn't make sense. Here he points out that Rashi's interpretation actually makes sense over here, with regards to the ola to oaf, and with regards to the primary hektesh, he brings a third view, which is, v'nira lemori lefereish, dika shem ola alimo, the sofa aim liot demeha ola. The meaning of the shem ola alimo is because the proceeds from this animal is going to be made into ola. And therefore, the offspring should have the din to go on the Mizbeach, like the mother's value is going to be used or utilized for an ola, as opposed to an asham, which is what we're contrasting over here. Aval gabe mafrish nekeval asham, deleka shem asham alimo, afilu Rabbi Elazar mudeh, the low karev asham. He agrees it's not going to be as a sham. that there's no Shema Shema Limo for Rashi, that means the primary Akdesh was not for an Olah, but rather for an Asham. And so for the offspring, which is going to go on the Mizbech as an Olah, it's not matching with the primary Akdesh of the mother. And number two is, there's no manifestation of Nekeva by an Asham. According to the Bali HaTosafot that brought over here, there's a third view as what the differentiation is, that by the Nekeva of an Asham, if the Vlad goes on the Mizbech Asham, then the mother will not be an Asham. And that is because over here, you only have to bring one Asham. And so you have to choose. And this is similar to the problem that the Bali HaTosafot pointed out before with regards to the Pesach. This is true by the Asham as well. Here you have a Nekeva the Asham, and you have an offspring that is the Asham. If you bring the offspring as an Asham, then the Nekeva, when you monetize it, it's going to be used as an Olah. If you use the proceeds of the mother, the Nekeva, to be brought as an Asham, then the child's going to be brought as an Olah. So the mother's status will never match the status of the Vlad. And that's because the monetization of the mother will either lead to you using it as an Asham, and if you use it as an Asham, then the child is no longer an Asham, it becomes an Olah, or vice versa. If the child was used as the Asham, then the mother is no longer an Asham, it's used for an Olah. And that's because Asham, shinit kapru bala, and Asham was balim already going kapara to another Asham, that Asham then converts or becomes an Olah. So that's why there's no match between them. That's the way the Bali Tosafot explains the difference here of Shem Olah Alimo versus Shem Asham Alimo. That's why there's a distinction. Ve'ilav dashmi'inan, had you not told me this, havamina, I would have thought, taima de Rabbi Elazar, la mishum de Shem Olah Alimo, I wouldn't have thought that that's the precipitating reason as to why the Vlad goes on the Mizbeach. Ela mishum, I would have thought the reason the Vlad goes on the Mizbeach is the Chazi Vlad Akrava. Because the Vlad, the offspring, is Ra'oi to go on the Mizbeach. When you have a mother that's an Olah, and then she has a son that is an Olah, the son is Ra'oi to go on the Mizbeach because he's a Zachar and an Olah. So that's why you thought, maybe that's why the son who's an Olah goes on the Mizbeach, even though the mother doesn't, because the son is Ra'oi to go on the Mizbeach. And then if that's true, by an Asham, you would say the same thing. V'hainami, ha'ichazi la'akrova. By the Asham too. The mother is not Ra'oi to be an Asham because she's in a Keva. But the offspring, the child that's born that is a male, is Ra'oi to be an Asham, and he could go on the Mizbeach. Maybe you would have thought that that's the reasoning, and therefore you would say that just like the Vlad Olah goes on the Mizbeach, so to the Vlad Asham goes on the Mizbeach. Kamash Malan. That's what Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina is coming to teach us, that that's not the reasoning of Rabbi Elazar, but rather the reasoning of Rabbi Elazar is has to do whether it's Shem Olah Alimo, and that's true by the Olah, but Shem Asham Alimo is not true by the Asham, and that's why you get a differentiated outcome over here, where the Vlad of the Nekeva that was Mukdash to be an Olah goes on the Mizbeach according to Rabbi Elazar, whereas a Nekeva that was Mukdashet to be a Korban Asham, there the Vlad that is born according to Rabbi Elazar will not go on the Mizbeach. In the Shita Mekubetz at Odalid, he brings Svarim Achirim Lishna Achrina. He brings a different Lashon. And in the different Lashon, he there has a slightly different view, but what's interesting about it is, the Gemara here laid out the reasoning behind Rabbi Elazar's differentiation with regards to a Vlad Asham of a Nekeva and a Vlad Olah Nekeva as to why they have a different outcome based on Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. The Gemara's explanation only addresses it according to Rava. Rava, who says that Shem Olah Alimo is the determining factor, we explain now clearly why the Olah and the Asham are different. Because you have Shem Olah Alimo, you don't have Shem Asham Alimo. But that doesn't address Abaye's position. Abaye's position is it has to do with the Motar. And the Motarot, or the determining factor for the Vlad. So in the Lishna Achrina, it actually poses the question and gives the answer according to both Abaye and Rava. So Rava's we already are addressed over here, but then he adds on the Lishna Achrina, Ilamad Amar, the Makom Sham Motar Holeich, Lisham, Havlad Holeich, for Abaye, the guards to an Olah, the Motar of an Olah, will go on Mizbeach as an Olah. If that's the case, then the Vlad is also going to be an Olah. Whereas by the Asham, the Motar Asham doesn't go on Mizbeach as an Asham, but rather as an Olah. Therefore, the Vlad doesn't get, so just like the mother is only Kadosh B'Kedushat Damim, so to the offspring only has Kedushat Damim. So now the way that the Shita of Mekubetzin explains it is that Abaye and Rava both need to explain this Shita of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Chanina. And that's what he brings. He brings that for Rava, the distinction is whether there's Shem Allah Alimo or Shem Hashem Alimo, which is what we have in our Gemara. But in addition to that, he adds on a piece for Abaye that says, well, a motor Allah ends up in the Mizbeach as an Olah. A motor Hashem ends up going to be monetized, and then the proceeds utilized for an Olah and Mizbeach. Therefore, the blood also will only be good enough for its monetization, but not be put on the Mizbeach by itself. So I'll explain it according to Rabbi. Then the next stage of the Gemara, which says, what was the Havamina? Why did Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Chanina have to come along and tell us? Isn't it a Pshita? What information is he giving us? So in the Gemara we had it, according to Rava, the information he's giving us is that you would have thought that the determining factor is Vlad is Ra'oi, because you have a Zachar, that's an Olah, or Vlad Hashem, Zachar, should be Ra'oi, so they both should go on the Mizbeach. Kamash Malad, that's not the determining factor. According to Rava, the determining factor is Shem Imo, and according to Abaye, Motar Imo is the determining factor. Now, the way that the Girsa of the Shittim and Gubetzit works is, the question is a little different, which is that upcoming, we're going to see that if something attains Kedushat Damim, then it should also attain Kedushat Aguf. And that's the Havamina here. The Havamina is, okay, Motar of the mother is going to be monetized and then used as an Olah. So the child also is going to be monetized. If you have Kedushat Damim, we're going to see in a second, if Kedushat Damim devolves upon the animal, that also converts into Kedushat HaGuf. And then we would have thought, Migo, that it's Kadosh B'Kedushat Damim, it's also Kadosh B'Kedushat HaGuf. Kamash Malan, that we don't say that, and the determining factor is not the Kedushat Damim of the child, but rather the mother's status. The mother's status, according to Rava, according to Abaye, the mother's status with regards to a Motar will determine what the status of the Vlad is. Now, Ihochi, if that's true, what you just said, that the Havamina is that because it's Chazi to go on the Mizbeach, therefore we would put it on the Mizbeach, then, Adamashmalan Dein Bena Karev Hashem, then why are you telling us that the offspring doesn't go on the Mizbeach as an Hashem? Nishmaina Dein Bena Karev Olah. A bigger Chiddush would be to tell us that the offspring of the Hashem Nikeva doesn't go on the Mizbeach as an Olah. Had you told me that, Hua Din Hashem, then I for sure would have known that it doesn't go on the Mizbeach as an Hashem. That's because the Vlad Hashem, it's Mrat Hashem, Hashem Shekipru Ba'aleha, or a Motar Hashem, we monetize them and then put them on the Mizbeach as Olot. So if you would then look at the Vlad Hashem, you would have thought maybe it goes on the Mizbeach as an Olah, because the Motar of the mother is monetized and made into an Olah, and the Shemi Mo, even though it has an Hashem, it has a piece of it that is an Olah, because as soon as she is Nitak Riyah, she gets a Shem Olah on it. So you would have thought maybe the offspring should go on the Mizbeach as an Olah. So if you tell us that the offspring doesn't go as an Olah, so there where there is a possibility that it might go on the Mizbeach as an Olah, you tell me it doesn't work, Hua Din the Hashem, then Kal Vachomer, I would have known by the Hashem it doesn't work. Because the Hashem has none of those things that would make you think that the offspring should be put on the Mizbeach as an Hashem. Shemi Mo is not an Hashem, and the Motar Hashem is not an Hashem. So certainly then the offspring is not going to be put on the Mizbeach as an Hashem. It says, Iyashmina no la, had you just told me about the Ola, Havamina Olahu delo karva. The reason that the offspring doesn't go on the Mizbeach as an Ola, delo aktasha the imak dushat Ola. Because the mother did not have the Kedusha of an Olah, or doesn't have the same Kedusha as the offspring. The offspring's an Olah, the mother's an Hashem. Maybe that was the disqualifying factor. Aval Hashem, if the offspring we were going to put on the Mizbeach as an Hashem, Ema Vlad Karev Hashem. Maybe it should go on as an Hashem, because then it has the same Kedusha as the mother. So Kamash Malan, that's why Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Chanina came to tell us that Rabbi Lazar agrees. When your Mafrishne came out of Hashem, that the offspring doesn't go on the Mizbeach as an Hashem, because to him that was a bigger Chiddush to teach us it doesn't go on as an Hashem, and not teaching us that it doesn't go on as an Olah. Even though both are true, nevertheless, he felt that that was the bigger Chiddush over here. So now the next Mishnah. Emefrish Nekeva de Hashem. Someone who separates out a Nekeva to be an Hashem, like what we've been discussing until now. Tireh ad shetisaev. You put it out to graze until it gets a mom. V'timacher. Sell it, monetize it, ve'yaviva demei Hashem. Use the proceeds of being an Hashem. Ve'im karei v'ashamo, if the Asham was already discharged. He brought another animal as the Asham. Yiplu damav l'nidava. Then the proceeds that you get from monetizing this female Asham will be go towards nidava, towards olot. And we're going to see in the Gemara, there's a machloket as whether it goes to nidvat tzibur or nidvat yachid. Whether it becomes a korban olav yachid or goes to the shofarot and the mikdash and is used towards the kayetz mizbeach for olot on the mizbeach of the olot and tzibur on the mizbeach. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Timacher Shalo Bimum. Rabbi Shimon says, you could sell it off without a mum. You don't even need to wait for it to get a mum. The kedusha that devolves upon this female Asham is not kedusha daguf. It's all kedusha tamim. Kedusha tamim, you don't need a mum in order to release it, to monetize it, and to sell it off. It's like kedusha berakabayit. You sell it off right away, you don't have to wait for a mum. So it's clear that the Tana Kama believes that you have kedusha daguf here. That kedusha daguf needs to be quote unquote ruined in order for you then to monetize it and use the proceeds to bring an asham or an olah, depending where you are in the continuum. But Rabbi Shimon says, you don't even have to wait. It's kedushat damim. It never attains kedushat haguf. So your question is asked by Rashi. Look at Rashi on the Mishnah. Rashi says, tohol velo chazi lemilte mum gamurhu. Since it's not ruined to be used as an asham, it's a mum. Velo kadshu kedushat haguf. And therefore it never attains kedushat haguf. It's all kedushat tamim, and therefore it is monetized. Va'afa gav the gabi mafrishne keva de ola lo polig Rabbi Shimon. Even though by an ola, Rabbi Shimon doesn't argue. Why doesn't Rabbi Shimon argue over there, like you're asking? Why isn't an ola the same exact scenario? The vaday by mum over there, even Rabbi Shimon agrees you need a mum. Hatamu deika shem ola ala be'of. That's because by ola, Nekeva is not such a foreign object to it. Nekeva has manifestations in Ola through Ola Ta'of. Since that's the case, then when you're Makdish it, it can attain Kedushat Haguf. So Rashi claims that Rabbi Shimon does not disagree by an Ola. He thinks by an Ola you do need a Mom. It's only by an Asham that you do not need a Mom, and that's because Asham has no manifestation of Nekeva, and therefore when you were Makdish it, you knew it was purposeless. It could not be used for whatever your intent was. And that means that your intention was damim and not kedushat haguf. By ola, where there is a manifestation of nekeva, then over there you have the capacity to create kedushat haguf, even though you're really doing it for its monetary value. But because of that possibility of ola ta'of having nekeva, the nekeva is not so foreign to the concept of kedushah by ola that it allows or it facilitates the ability to be kedushat haguf by nekeva. That's an ola. So that's what Rashi says, there's a difference. But according to Rabbi Shimon only argues here in this Mishnah. He does not argue in the previous Mishnah because of this distinction. Tosfot brings an alternate view. He says it really depends on your view as to what the din is with regards to tmura. If you can create tmura from this item or you can't create tmura from that item, that will be determinant as to whether there is kedushat haguf. So if you think that an asham nekeva can create tmura, then that would indicate that there's kedushat haguf. If you can't create tmura with it, that's indicative of the fact that there is no kedushat haguf here, all you have is kedushat tamim. So he points out that according to Rabbi Shimon bar Yehuda, in the shita of Rabbi Shimon, he thinks that there is no tmura, not by an asham nekeva, and not by an olat nekeva. And therefore he says, b'tzarech lomar, the polig basham, v'hu adin bo'ola. According to Rabbi Shimon bar Yehuda, in Rabbi Shimon's position, you would have to say that, just like he argues here by an asham, he also argues by an ola. And the reason he wrote it over here, and not by the ola, is because the chiddush here is that even so, even though asham is so foreign, nevertheless, the monies go to nidvat tzibur or nidvat yachid, they go as olot. So despite the fact that it is a foreign entity, the monies are still used, even though they're not going to bring an asham in the end, they're going to be used for an ola, and that's, there's an additional chiddush over here that you don't find by ola. So Tosafot does bring that alternative view that maybe what he says here by asham would also be applicable by ola as well. Now Gemara asks on the Tana Kama, "Velama li tista'ev? Why do you need to wait for it to get a boom? Timacher, just sell it off. Kaven de lo chazia the milta hainu muma. Since it's not ra'oi for whatever you were makdishit, then that is its mum. Or, in essence, the kedushat at the outset was a kedushat damim. because the animal can't go on the Mizbeach as you intended. You can't put in a Kevan as an Hashem. So it's clear then that you must have intended for it to be a Kedushat Damim. If that's the case, why do you need to wait for a Mum? Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Hainu Tam. This is the reason behind Tanakama's view over here. The Amrinon, Migo de Nachta La Kedushat Damim, Nachta Na Kedushat Taguf. We've had this before, that when you have Kedushat Damim that takes hold on an animal, just like the Kedushat Damim takes hold on the animal, so too a Kedushat Haguf takes effect on the animal. Not that it's going to be going on the Mizbeach, but it has Kedushat Haguf to the point where you're going to require a Mum in order to remove this Kedushah, in order to redeem it. So it's not going to go on the Mizbeach, but nevertheless, it will require a Mum to release it from that Kedushah. Because once a Kedushat Damim is Tofes, then the Kedushat Haguf follows it. Amar Rabba, Zotomeret. Rabba says that Zotomeret, and we'll see why in a second you have to change the Girsa to Rabba, which is that from this you would conclude, Yigdish Sachar LeDamav, Kadosh Kedushat Haguf, your Makdish, a male animal to be monetized for a Korban Olah, since the Kedushat Damim is Tofes on the animal, the Kedushat Haguf also takes effect on the animal. And that animal then will be placed on the Mizbeach, because now it's an Olah, that is a Zachar, that has Kedushat Haguf, it should end up on the Mizbeach. With the Hashem, it won't happen that way, because the Hashem Nekeva doesn't go on the Mizbeach, then the Kedushat Haguf is only effective to make it that you need a Mum, not that it'll go on the Mizbeach. Itmar, Hikdish Zachar LeDamav, so we have a Machloket Amaroim with regards to this matter, if you Makdish Zachar LeDamav, Rav Kahana Amar Kadosh, Kedushat Haguf, it does attain Kedushat Haguf, Rava Amar Eino Kadosh Kedushat Haguf. So here you see, Rava disagrees. That's why before they changed the Girsa to Amar Rabba, as we see over here, Rava doesn't agree with what was said before. V'hadar be Rava, could the Rav Kahana, and agreed with Rav Kahana, but Rava backed away from his position, he relented on his position, made the Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, because of Rav Yehuda Amar Rav's explanation of our Mishnah, through that, he then concluded that he must be wrong. So that's possible that the first statement was Amar Rava, post his retraction. So after he agreed with Rav Kahana, and he said that Rav Yehuda Amar Rav convinced him that that's the right way to go, maybe the Amar Rava Zotomeret. Now you could say the following based on what Rav Yehuda Amar Rav say, because that's what convinced him that that's the right way to go with regards to Hikdish Zachar L'damav. Now over here, the Shita Mekubetzet in Od Vav brings a Lishna Achrina, where they ask a similar question as to why over here the Tana Kama thinks there is Kedushat Haguf. And then the answer given of Amar Yehuda Amar Rav is different than what we have in our Gemara. Over here, the Shita Mekubetzet says, Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, Kigon, Shikdish Kedushat Haguf, Tenehit Lo Chazi Lasham, Lishlamim, Mia Chazio. And since the animal could have been a Shlamim, you instead made it into an Hasham, that makes it that it has the possibility of attaining Kedushat Haguf, and that's why you need Mamum in it in order to redeem it. And what is actually seemingly happening in this Lishna Achrina are the two explanations that we see, the one in our Gemara, which the Shita Mekubetzet brings as well as this Lishna Achrina, is that it's not clear in the Mishnah when it says, Amafrit Nekeva de Hasham, what was the Kedushah that was imbued in it according to the Tana Kama? Were you Makdish Kedushat Tamim? And then when you Makdish Kedushat Tamim, it elevates to Kedushat Haguf, and that's what's being said there. Or when it says, Amafrit Nekeva de Hasham, means that you were Makdish Kedushat Haguf. And in essence, the two Lishonot deal with that. The one Lishon says, well, if you were Makdish Kedushat Tamim, it doesn't matter because of Kedushat Damim automatically elevates to Kedushat Haguf. Or, if you were Makdish Kedushat Haguf, there it also doesn't matter because since the Kedushat Haguf would have devolved upon it had you made it into a Shlamim, and this is Ra'oi to be a Shlamim, therefore by the Hasham it also attains Kedushat Haguf at least to the point where you need a Mum to redeem it, even though it's not going to go on the Mizbeach itself. So the two Lishonot in essence are answering the question as to what was the Mafrish Nekeva the Hasham in the Mishnah, what was the Kedushah that you created on this Hasham Nekeva? In the Mishnah, was it Kedushat Damim or Kedushat Haguf? Irrespective of what it was, it, according to the Tana Kama, it should require a Mum now in order to redeem it, because in both cases it attains Kedushat Haguf. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Timacher Shalom B'mum. Amalei Rav Chiya Ba'avin, the Rabbi Yochanan. Migo Denachat Lei Kedushat Damim, Tichot Lei Nami Kedushat Haguf. Or basically what he's doing is, according to Rabbi Shimon, why don't you invoke the same principle that the Tana Kama had? The Tana Kama, we asked on him, why does he hold like Rabbi Shimon? It's really a good view. So the answer to that was, oh, once you have Kedushat Damim, Kedushat Haguf also takes effect. So now we're reversing the question and saying, okay, why doesn't Rabbi Shimon subscribe to that view, that once you have Kedushat Damim, then Kedushat Haguf also takes place? Amar Lei, Rabbi Shimon the Tamei. Rabbi Shimon is the shita to Damar kol mida lo chazi le gufei lo naftale kedushat aguf. Anything that is not roi for its kedushat aguf, meaning that it's not roi to go on the mizbeach as it is, then it cannot attain kedushat aguf. So here, when you makdish the nekeva as an asham, it itself can't go on the mizbeach. If that's the case, the kedushat damim does not convert into kedushat aguf. Titania, asham ben shana ve'viu ben shtayim. If you have a requirement to bring a korban asham that is 1 year old, that is because certain ashamot are kvasim, as the Torah says, and that is an asham nazir, asham mitzora, which are come from kvasim, and there's some ashamot that come from an ayo, which needs to be 2 years old. So an asham gzelot, asham milot, asham shifa karufa, they're all brought from an ayo. So those are 2 years old. So if he had to bring a korban asham that was 1 year old, meaning a keves, and instead, he brought a bench time. He brought an ayo, which is 2 years old. Bench time, he was supposed to bring a korban hasham that was an ayo. And instead, if he will bench an ayo, instead he brought a keves. Ksheira. The korban is a kosher korban. Velo alo the balim, the shem chova. But he didn't discharge his obligation with regards to the hasham that he needs to bring. Because he brought the wrong hasham. He needed to bring a keves and ayo. He didn't bring that. So yes, the korban is a kosher korban. But as far as your obligation, you haven't discharged it. Maybe Shimon Omer. What are you talking about? It didn't work. You were supposed to bring a keves. You brought an ayo. It never attained kedushat aguf. Or vice versa. You were supposed to bring an ayo. You brought a keves. It never attained kedushat aguf. So there you see, according to Rabbi Shimon, something that is not ra'ui to attain the kedushat aguf that you intend for it, then it never attains kedushat aguf. So over here, where was a keves that you needed to bring and you brought an ayo, the ayo is not ra'ui for the kedushat that you're trying to devolve upon it. Since that's the case, even though there's Kedushat Tamim that falls upon it, Kedushat Aguf never takes effect on it. As opposed to the Tanakamo thinks Kedushat Aguf takes effect on it, that's why you can bring it as a Korban. Just not as a Korban that is going to discharge your obligation. Now, the Gemara says, wait a minute. Vare Mechusar Zman, what about the fact that you have animals that have not reached the threshold of age whereby they are allowed to be put on the Mizbeach? For instance, an animal needs to be 8 days old. The Lo Chazi, they're not Ro'oi the Kedushat Aguf. From Rabbi Shimon, the Kadosh. And yet Rabbi Shimon says that you can't be makdish them. It says, Shani Mechusar Zman, the Chazi Lemachar. A Mechusar Zman is different because it's a temporary problem. It's a temporary suspension of your ability to bring the Korban, but it's going to age out. Automatically, it's going to reach that age threshold. And reaching that age threshold, it's automatically then going to be Ra'oi. So therefore, you can be makdish it while it's Mechusar Zman because really it is Ra'oi in the future. So, if that's the case, Avasham ben Shtayim, you're supposed to bring an Asham Ayo, which is 2 years old, Be'evio ben Shana, and you brought a Keves that's 1 year old. Then also say, Hayachazi l'shana. In a year, it's going to be Ro'oi to be the Ayo that you're supposed to bring. So why can't that work then? Why doesn't the Kedushat Aguf take effect then? Elohainu Taima, that can't be the reasoning of Rabbi Shimon. Elohainu Taima, this is the reasoning of Rabbi Shimon. Be'mechusar Zman, to Yoli Flamei Bechor. By Mechusar Zman, that's a different din because we learn it out of Bechor. Kedetanya Rabbi Shimba Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Shimon. Shimba Yehuda says the name Rabbi Shimon. Mechusar Zman, Nichnas Ledir Leitaser. The Mechusar Zman, something that's less than 8 days old, goes into the corral and can be counted amongst the animals going out to be Maser. And if it's the 10th animal, it would have Kedushat Maser. Barihu Kebechor. It'll be just like a Bechor. Ma Bechor Kadosh Lifnei Zmano. Just like a Bechor attains Kedusha before it's Ra'oi the Mizbeach, Vekarev Vachazmano, and only ends up in the Mizbeach after it is Ra'oi. Af Mechusar Zman, Kadosh Lifnei Zmano, so to anything that has Mechusar Zman can attain Kedusha, can reach the level of Kedusha before that time elapses, Vekarev Vachazmano, and only is put on the Mizbeach after that threshold of time. So what he says in essence is a Bechor becomes the paradigm. A Bechor has Kedushat Bechor, Bepet the Rechem, when it exits the Rechem, that's when the Kedushat takes place. That animal is not rolling in the Mizbeach. It needs to wait till the 8th day until it can go on the Mizbeach. So there you see the Kedushat devolves upon it, even though it can't be brought as a Korban. So that's the paradigm. So now any Korban, where I makdish it, b'mechusar zman, the Kedushat is effective, I just can't bring it on the Mizbeach. I can't be makrivit until it clears that threshold. But that's because we learned from Bechor. And that'll be true by Maser as well. Now, Tosafot points out, from our Gemara here, it sounds like that this is not only a din by Bechor and Maser, it's a din by all Kodoshim. And Tosafot points out that there are many places and many statements that seem to indicate otherwise. And so Tosma comes to the following conclusion. Yesh tamar, dehani mila chatchila, asur lahakdisho mechusar zman. But chatchila, you're not allowed to be makdisha when it's mechusar zman. Miu, imavar, vikdish, kadish. If you do violate it and you're makdisha, it is successful. So that's what it means over here, that you can have a mechusar zman that's kadosh, even by other kodashim, not just by bechor, and not just by maaser. Now given that explanation of Rabbi Shimon Shita, the Shita Mikubetz in a note Yudal brings a question from the Bali HaTosafot as to why can't you say the same thing with regards to a keves that you bring when you need in an ayo for an asham. That keves is mechusar zman. It's just too young. Once it hits the age of 13 months and one day, it'll turn into an ayo, and then it'd be ra'oi for what the korban that you need. So why isn't there kedusha the gufa on the keves when you bring it up front? And yet Rabbi Shimon and that Braita said that that's not the case. There is no kedusha the gufa over here. So the Bali HaTosafot and the Shita Mikubetz that answer the concept of mechusar zman is only when that mechusar zman invalidates it to be used for any korban. If it's just invalidated for a particular korban, a particular aged korban, that's not called a mechusar zman. The mechusar zman that we learned from Bechor and from Maser is a mechusar zman that is in the beginning of its life, in the first 7 days, whereby it's not kosher for any korban. And that's the only case where mechusar zman, that Rabbi Shimon has this view that there is kedusha, even though it's mechusar zman. The Rashash claims that it's not considered a mechusar zman because a keves and an ayo are two different entities, and therefore it's not really a mechusar zman. Even though a keves will age into an ayo, they're still viewed as different entities within the world of kodoshim, and therefore it's not considered to be a mechusar zman. Tan Rabbanan, makdish nekeva l'olato. Someone is makdish nekeva for his ola, ula pischo, or for his pesach, or lashamo, or for his asham. Three different korbanot that are all only come from the zecharim. Pesach, asham, and ola. And it says here, if you're makdish nekeva for any one of those, oset mura. It has the capacity to create tmura, which means there's kedushat haguf associated with all of these items, like we just saw in our Mishnah with regards to the Asham. Same is true by the Olah, same is true by the Pesach. There is kedushat haguf. That kedushat haguf then can create tmura. It's only kedushat tamim or bedek habayit. We already saw that that doesn't create tmura. You need kedushat haguf to create tmura. Rabbi Shimon Omer, lo lato oset tmura. The pischo, ula shamo, ain oset tmura. By the Olah, it can create tmura. There is kedushat haguf with regards to an olah, but by Pesach and Hashem, there is no kedushat haguf. Shein lecha davar oset tmura, ela ro'eh li'stev. The only thing that you create tmura is something that needs to go out to graze and get a mum in it, meaning that you need kedushat haguf in order to create tmura, and that's identified by the fact that you need a mum to redeem it. If it's not kedushat haguf, you can redeem it even without a mum. The fact that the animal goes out to graze and waits for a mum in order to redeem it and to monetize it, that's an indicative of the fact that you have kedushat haguf. If that's the case, then you can create tmura from those items. And the reason being, once again, as Rashi says over here, is oset tmura deika shem olat aleha be'of. Because there is relevance of an ekeva to the world of olah, because by olat ha'of you can bring in ekeva. Because of that, even Rabbi Shimon in that case agrees that there is kedushat haguf that devolves upon the nekeva as an olah. And then again, that is supportive of the distinction that Rashi made in the Mishnah between olah and hasham. For Rabbi Shimon, the nekeva by an olah does create kedushat haguf, whereas the nekeva by an hasham does not create kedushat haguf. That which the Bali Tosafot said, that it applies to both of them, that's in the sheet of Rabbi Shimon bar Yehuda. This is not according to Rabbi Shimon bar Yehuda. This is Rabbi Shimon's opinion independent of Rabbi Shimon bar Yehuda. And that's why over here there's a distinction between an asham and an olah. Amar Rabbi, ein ani ro'ed divarav shel Rabbi Shimon bePesach. By the Pesach I disagree. By olah and asham I think he's right. By Pesach I disagree. Hol umutar motar haPesach karev shlamim. Since the excess Pesach becomes a shlamim, therefore there is manifestation of nekeva in the world of Pesach. That is because a shlamim can come from a zachar or a nekeva. Since the motor of Pesach turns into a shlamim, nekeva is relevant in the world of Pesach because of the shlamim aspect of it. Again, even though it's not going to be brought as a shlamim, this nekeva, nevertheless, since it is relevant to that world of Pesach and relevant in the world of shlamim, because a Pesach, again, is a subset of shlamim, therefore it should also attain kedushat haguf. V'lema ein ani ro'ed dvarav shel Rabbi Shimon ba'asham. Why don't we then say, according to Rabbi, that he also disagrees with regards to Hashem. Ho, v'motar Hashem, karev olah. Because the leftover Hashem ends up as an olah. And by an olah, we already established that there is relevance of an nekeva. So that's the case. Just like by motar pesach ends up as a shlamim, and there's relevance of nekeva and shlamim. So say the same thing by motar shem ends up as an olah, that there's a relevance of nekeva over there. And even though before in the Gemara, Rava distinguished between a pesach and an asham, because the motar pesach has a shem olah alimo, meaning a shlamim on its mother, whereas the asham does not have a shem olah alimo, meaning that the shem olah doesn't apply to the mother because it is an asham, and is yet to be converted into an olah. Nevertheless, the Gemara over here wants to connect the two, and that's because over there, Rava was speaking about a pesach acharazman, where it is already converted into a shlamim. Over here, Rabbi made a statement about a pesach lifneizmano, and that means that Rabbi thinks that even before it's converted into its new name, that that has the status of shem shlamim alimo. If that's the case, then maybe you would say the same thing with regards to an asham that's going to be converted into an olah. Rabbi sabala ki rabbonon damrei motrot in batat zibur azle. Now Rabbi holds like the rabbonon that the excesses, the motar of an asham, ends up going to the midvata tzibur, ends up being used for a lot of the tzibur, paint murab in tzibur. And so maybe yes, it does have kdushat aguf. But if that's your source, if that's the reason why you're saying here that it should have a din of tmura, then it's not a good reason, because over there, the olot are olot ha-tzibur, and the olot ha-tzibur, the world of tzibur, doesn't have a din with regards to tmura. So then, over here, you can't have that then give the nekeva a power of tmura just because you have a olah in the back end, because this olah is different. It's an olah tzibur. So first of all, by olah tzibur, they all come as zecharim. Olah tzibur never comes as an oaf. And lastly, that the olah tzibur does not create tmura. We're going to stop here 10 lines down on the top of Chof Amud Aleph.